There's Mr.
Hey guys, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Dad's over here showing health research. Dad's over here showing me these
look at this.
Goofy photos right at the beginning of the show.
Somebody's pretending like they're Donald Trump and they dress up like a clown. There he is.
There you go.
Broke
your new iPad.
Well, that broke the iPad. I just have a case for it coming in today.
This is a wild photo.
The clown show. I got to tell you guys a story.
It is a bit of a clown show right now. And I'll let you guys know, too. I had somebody ask me earlier, email me about...
Ridiculous.
I can't with him sometimes.
I have a new case coming today.
He's got a brand new iPad. You guys can thank you for the iPad, by the way. The support for the show has got new iPads, so your iPad doesn't crash.
Thank you.
I finally told him, I said, dude, I said, we're producing this high quality show. We got to have reliable equipment. And so I talked him into getting an iPad.
Expensive little suckers. Thank you guys for supporting us.
Yes. And the product of the week, the Ultimate Multiple Powder. Haven't changed it yet. I'm looking at
this last day.
On here. Last day. Normally changes in the morning. I'm going to let it run through the afternoon. I got a bunch of stuff to button up today after the show. So I'll give it a...
You guys love this product.
Rest of the afternoon. Yeah, I know. Besides the one that fell and broke open on the floor yesterday.
Did it break open?
It was a mess. No, I'm just kidding. So I hope you guys are staying strong and healthy. Be sure to follow us and get updates on thebrowershow.com. Sign up for the weekly newsletter, name, email. Sign up for the Brower Show and the Health Masters subscription here. I recommend it. That way we get emails to your inbox every day and keep you guys updated. And what'd you have to share? I know you got something. I see it on your
website. No, this is a funny story.
What happened?
Years ago... I was, I think, it was either the Denver Zoo or the Lowry Park Zoo in Tampa. I don't remember anymore. And they had a monkey in a cage.
Okay.
Well, they had a bunch of monkeys in the cage. And this one monkey had gotten really tired of people looking at the monkey.
He didn't like being looked at.
He got an attitude. And he started pooping in his hand and throwing the poop at everybody. True story. And so
you can't just drop that on me with a straight face.
No, and so finally, I think they had to get rid of the monkey or put him out of throwing range. And the problem with it was is that that was the monkey that circus had, right? And and the problem that we've got here is that there's a circus show going on in the Middle East.
There is. It has been for thousands of years.
I mean, ever since Sarah kicked out Hagar. Because you remember
Abraham. Isaac and Ishmael.
Yeah, because it started with that. Let's go. Ancient biblical history. Abraham was married to Sarah. Sarah couldn't get pregnant. So he basically used a surrogate, his handmaiden, Hagar, and had a baby named Ishmael.
He had sex with his nanny, his maid. I mean, pretty much. Pretty much is what
I'm
happened.
I'm trying to sugarcoat this. I'm trying to make it G-rated for kids.
But you got to understand the aspect of it, where there's a little bit of tension in that situation.
Well, he decided he wanted to do that. Now, then what happened is Sarah gets pregnant a few years later. She has a baby.
After
Ishmael's born, and then Hagar gives birth to Ishmael, then Sarah gives birth to Isaac. Well, then, these two, then Sarah's all mad at Hagar because, it's the other woman. And so she boots him out into the desert.
That was a very strange situation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just put her out.
That was his son, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was his blood.
But he was the father of many nations. It says that.
Yeah.
And so what ended up happening is he basically, that Ishmael kind of pretty much started the Muslim race, sort of. It's a long time after that. But they were always.
This is a short version.
This is a really short version. So these guys have always hated each other.
Yeah.
They've been always mad. They're like cousins.
Yeah.
And so, they're like, Semites, like they're Arab descent, Abraham descent or whatever. And a lot of them are Khazarian descent. We won't go there today.
Well, I showed you the video yesterday of Trump. He was notably irritated.
But
it was funny, though, because you could tell it's off the cuff. And he's like, these guys have been fighting forever.
Yeah.
They don't stop fighting. I order ceasefire, and they both keep bombing each other after order ceasefire.
Well, back to the monkey that throws poop.
Okay? Yeah.
If we've got a circus going on,
yeah,
okay, and we've got a monkey that wants to throw poop,
yeah, right,
and the monkey's running around throwing poop at everybody, we're going to get up and just leave the circus.
Yes.
We don't want to be, you know, bombarded with monkey poop.
Yeah, not,
well, this is not our circus, and this is not our monkey.
Yeah, I just want to leave. I just want to leave. I want to leave the show.
I mean, this is we're not going to be dealing with this mess. I mean, this is not something we want to be putting up with. And so the problem is that, you know, Trump pretty much does whatever Israel wants, and now the Proud Boys are the latest MAGA cultists, according to this article, which is of course a liberal article, to break up with Trump. And it's interesting. He says Donald Trump campaigned on better immigration laws. Okay. And it says that after a failed attempt to mediate between Israel and Palestine during the ongoing humanitarian crisis, the former reality TV stars, they don't call him the president. Okay.
Wow.
The former reality TV star's latest international move was even more dramatic, ordering strikes on three Iranian nuclear facilities last weekend. While he technically didn't declare war, only Congress has that power, launching unauthorized bombing runs in foreign airspace remains an impeachable offense.
Really?
Now, if they want to impeach him, they could. Everyone seems to be pissed off with Donnie right now. Lawmakers from both parties are demanding accountability. Even his staunchest supporters, the ones who helped him undermine America's democratic principles, like I said, this is a communist thing here, are distancing themselves. After the bombing, when the president posted a celebratory message on True Social, the response in the Proud Boys' public Telegram channel was notably hostile. If the United States gets directly involved in Israeli Iran conflict, the voters that voted for Trump because there was a hope that Trump was the first American no longer. I'm going to slow down. The vote, because there was a hope that Trump was America first, can no longer support Trump. America first does not mean war for Israel. Donald Trump's focus on the health of our nation, period. We are crumbling. We are crippled with debt with no plan for a solution. Be the president that you ran in and ran for. And, you know, I got to agree with the guy. And he says, oh, man, but you love to see it, how much lower his approval rating can go, even amongst his formerly stalwart Third Reich supporters, is anybody's guess. This is written by a hardcore communist newscaster who wrote that.
Liberals
and but here's another one by Candace Owens. And apparently she was on with Piers Morgan. And it says, Candace Owens hammered President Donald Trump in an interview with Piers Morgan on Tuesday, decrying his handling of the conflict between Israel and Iran and his decision to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities. This is not the candidate that I voted for, nor the candidate that I promoted, Owens told Morgan in a wide-ranging interview. Owens, who has long been a supporter of the president, was one of his many prominent media supporters that urged Trump to stay out of the conflict. This faction of the MAGA movement noted that Trump's campaign on extracting the United States from former conflicts was clashed with pro-war supporters of the president, like Laura Loomer, who recently dubbed Owens Tehran Candy. Unbelievable. It's all the same rhetoric dating back to 9/11. All the same tactic trying to smear people who are against this war as jihadists, Owens told Morgan, arguing the conflict between Iran and Israel was simply not our business, not our monkey.
Yeah.
Now you got the analogy. Now you have this analogy of a poop throwing monkey
in a circus. And it's not our problem.
And it's not our problem.
And
I'm not going to the circus. Just leave. That's the problem, God. There was no imminent threat to the United States when Trump made this decision to do what BB wanted.
Zero.
Owens said, referring to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, this was not the Trump's decision, but was BB Netanyahu's decision. And that is the reason that we did it. We're very aware that Israel is dictating our foreign policy.
Candace Owens said
yes.
That.
And we'd now like that to stop. Owens, who first opposition of U.S. potential bombing last week, says she now sees her support of Trump in a different light. He has been a chronic disappointment, said Owens. And I felt embarrassed when I told people to go out and vote for him because this wasn't going to happen, and it is happening. Now, this is why I'm going to tell you something here. I told you so. This is why I didn't promote Trump. I didn't promote the laughing hyena Candace, you know, Kamala either. I didn't vote for her either. But I knew Trump was going to do this. Because in 2016, he did the same thing with red flag gun laws, Operation Warp Speed, the whole bit. You guys remember what happened when he put Lieber. Was it Lieber? I think it was. Was it Lieber in charge of the FDA? I think it was Lieber. And he was a big pro-vaccine guy. All of this stuff that Trump promised he was going to do in 2016 that didn't get done was the reason I didn't vote for him in 2020 or in 2024, though he had won that 2020 election. That was fraud. We all know that. So this is why I didn't promote him, because I told you guys in 2016, after I had seen what had happened in that particular, you know, administration, I wasn't voting for the lesser of two evils again. I'm not going to do it. And if Benjamin Netanyahu is going to determine our foreign policy for the United States of America, I don't need a president that's going to be his you know,
biatch.
Yeah, biatch.
No, I mean, I was going to say it. It's getting irritating. That's what everybody's sick of it. Is, I mean, what in the world do we have anything to do
But remember, though, this is very, very important. Everybody gets this. And I said it the other day. I'm going to say it kind of like a little differently this time. Elon Musk has told us that Donald Trump was in the Epstein list. Epstein was Mossad. Epstein worked for Israel. Now, what in the world did they have on the Epstein list or on Donald Trump that would make him do whatever Israel tells him to do? There have been a lot of speculations about that. I'm not going to go there today. So, but there's something seriously wrong with this whole situation.
Well, you know, that whole, and I called that out, that when that happened with Elon Musk and he dropped that tweet. I said, why in the world is he dropping this in a dispute? Obviously, this is a topic that's gotten brought up behind the scenes. That wasn't just something he just randomly said off the cuff. Elon Musk says some weird stuff sometimes. He didn't put that tweet out there because he was lying. Notice, nobody rebutted him. The government didn't come out and say, oh, this is unbelievably inaccurate.
But remember what they did, though. Now, think about this. Walk through this with me for a second. We told you guys that Epstein and Trump were good friends and that Trump was probably on the list.
There's videos of them hanging out together.
We know that.
Before he was charged, so they spun it that way.
Okay, but we also know that, you know, he and Epstein were buddies.
Yeah.
We know that. And so there was a lot of speculation. Now, stay with me for a second. There was a lot of speculation that Donald Trump was on the list, and that's why Pamela Bondi wouldn't release the list.
Yeah. There was speculation that from the very beginning.
Okay, now that we've talked about that all year.
Because we knew they both had ties together from hanging out.
Now, but so what's the best way of doing this? Remember what happened? Elon Musk and Trump have a spiff.
Yeah.
And then Elon Musk has a little hissy fit and goes, Donald Trump's on Jeffrey Epstein's list. That's why they won't release it. Okay?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, Elon Musk retracts that. So I shouldn't have said that. Then all of a sudden, the Justice Department comes out and says, yes, he's on the list, but there's nothing incriminating whatsoever concerning the list.
Soft disclosure.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Soft disclosure.
Yep.
They let you know that Donald Trump is on the list, but there is no evidence against him to implicate him in anything Jeffrey Epstein was doing. Or if it was implicated, it ain't there anymore.
Right.
Okay. So what they've done now, I had a friend of mine who's a pastor. Okay. Now, he wasn't always a preacher. He had some crazy stuff he did in his past. And one time he got solicited. He was arrested for soliciting a prostitute. Can't make this stuff up. And his mom and his dad had started a church. And my friend, basically, when his dad died, got the church. Well, his mom was mad at him about something. He says, I'm going to go public and tell everybody that you were arrested for soliciting a prostitute.
It was years.
Many years ago. 20, 30 years ago. Probably 30 years ago. Long, long time ago. And he calls me up. He goes, I don't know what to do. This could destroy my ministry. And I said, well, you weren't saved when you did all this. You weren't walking with God. I said, just tell the people that one time. And I said, what happened to the case? He goes, well, they dismissed it. I said, okay. Just tell the congregation. Disclose it. And then there's no longer anybody going to go in there and basically try to blackmail you with it. So he did. He actually said, well, you know, many years ago before I got saved, you know, I got solicited. I was charged for solicitation of a prostitute and charges were dropped. But all these types of things can happen to you when you're not doing what you're supposed to do or when you're not where you're supposed to be. And so all of us need to realize that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it didn't make a difference. At that point in time, it was disclosed. And he was right about everything he said. All things work to good for those who love God. And we all have mistakes in our past that we've done, things that we're saying, oh, gosh, I wish I hadn't done that. That's what grace is for. But sometimes you have to do a soft disclosure. Why? Because you get to spin it the way you want to spin it.
Before it goes out.
Before it goes out. You know, we got this one guy now, this Liver King, right? He was basically out there slamming everybody. I never heard of the guy until this morning, by the way. He was slamming everybody who was basically, you know, taking steroids. Say, oh, they're a bunch of steroid freaks. Well, they find out by his confidential emails that he was taking $11,000 worth of steroids a month.
Yeah.
Well, it ruined his credibility.
Well, the problem is he was over there hammering people on YouTube videos.
Well, yeah.
Bodybuilders, pro bodybuilders. Everybody knew pro bodybuilders were using gear. It wasn't anything new. But he was over there hammering everybody. And then
he's doing the same thing.
He's doing the same thing.
Yeah, and then what happened? Now he basically threatened Joe Rogan. And now he's been arrested with a misdemeanor.
Joe Rogan fight, too, man. That's a bold move. I mean, Joe Rogan's a black belt in jiu-jitsu and everything else. He's not a candy boy. A lot of people don't know that about Joe Rogan. He's very, very
He used to be in MMA, wasn't he?
Yes. He used to fight nationally.
He did shooting fighting.
Shoot fighting, yeah, with jiu-jitsu and everything else, MMA. So I don't know where Liver King's trying to go. Unless he's just trying to get in the news and get
relevant.
Which he has somehow made it on our show today.
Apparently. It's sad that I'm doing this. And but he lives. I read the article. Said he lives in a $14 million home.
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe his payments are due. Maybe he's got
some cash on YouTube, man.
That's a big house. I had another friend of mine bought a house, about a $20 million house. He ended up losing it.
That was in West Palm, wasn't it?
Palm Beach. Marapan. And I mean, it was kind of funny.
Nobody factors in when they get into big amounts of money and they want to move to Florida is the property taxes and maintenance. Those houses like that, you don't realize a lot of cases you're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars a year just in property taxes to keep the house.
Oh, his is more than that. He was paying, between the payments and the property taxes, he was paying almost $300,000 a month. My friend was.
A month?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
3.6 a year just to keep the house afloat. Yeah.
And that, wow. And he had to have full-time security there. And
oh, yeah.
It was on 5 acres on the water, three stories, two brass elevators on each end outside.
$300,000 a month just to have a house.
Mm-hmm. He lost it all. But the crazy part about it is that, you know, ask yourself a question. Are you spending money you don't have to impress people you don't know? For what reason? Am I right here? There's a certain point with a house that it becomes more of a burden than it is an asset.
Yeah.
As if it gets big enough. Because all of a sudden, you got to have a new roof. All of a sudden, you have to have the pool pebble-teched or marsided. Suddenly, you know, your shingles are going bad. Suddenly, your roof is leaking.
Four of your 10 or 15 AC handlers go out.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, now you think, this is crazy. This is like costing me a fortune.
What was the one, that big one over there that never got finished? That real rich guy over there?
Yeah, the guy who started those timeshare. Years.
Yeah,
Versailles.
Yes.
It's over in Orlando.
It was like 60,000 square feet.
Something like that.
Never got finished, though, did it?
I don't think it ever did.
Finally completed.
I don't think so. Because the problem is, it's not that large of a structure.
It's not the shell that gets you.
That shell was big. It's the trim.
It's the trim out.
You know,
like 60,000
square feet. I think he passed away now. Never saw it completed. And but it was an interesting. It was the queen. I think the show was called The Queen of Versailles. I remember she had this beautiful home and she had this dog pooping all over the floor. I'll never forget that. And I thought to myself, why do you have a dog pooping all over? You hire somebody to train your animal or whatever. But it was horrible. And but your mom and I went in there.
Yeah, you told me that was under construction.
We went in there. I mean, me and Sharon. And we drove up and we were in a pickup truck. It's always easy to get to a construction site with a pickup truck.
Yeah,
and there are people working everywhere. So I grabbed the clipboard so I could take notes. And she and I walked in like we were doing an inspection. It was great.
Nobody probably bothered you.
Nobody even said a word to us. There were so many people in there working, running around. They all thought we were supposed to be there. So it was fun, though. But that was many years ago. That's got to be 10 years. That thing's been going and going. But I don't think they ever finished it.
I saw photos of it. There was a bunch of it that's finished. They were doing it in sections.
There was like a hotel on the inside. Yeah. There was a stairwell on the inside and this giant, basically a stained glass, you know, roof panel. It was unbelievable. The house was like a giant, really like a Versailles, you know, Rothschild hotel. I'll look it up for a second. See how many square feet it was.
Yeah.
What's your next story?
It was like 60,000 square feet. Yeah. It was big. This is another story that came out of Florida News. DHS approves construction of alligator Alcatraz.
Here we go.
For illegal aliens. This is fantastic. Florida officials are building a massive detention facility dubbed Alligator Alcatraz for its swampy location, teeming with deadly predators. The proposed facility site, Dade Collier Training and Transition Airport, tucked along the eastern edge of Big Cypress National Preserves, about 55 miles west of Miami. Big plans back in the day, aiming to transform it down to the Everglades Jetport, a massive airport poised to dwarf all others. However, they slammed the brakes in the 70s. The project got grounded because of the location. So now they're revamping this location, and Alligator Alcatraz. 30 square mile area is completely surrounded by Everglades. It presents an efficient, low-cost opportunity to build a temporary detention facility. You don't need to invest much in the perimeter, it says. This is kind of funny. Great idea, though. So, I mean, once you get out there, you got to deal with the water moccasins and the snakes and everything in between. So, yeah. The alligators.
Well, you know, I'm sure they're going to put a moat around it.
You don't need a moat. It's in the Everglades.
Well, no, you have to moat it. And that way you make sure you stock the moat
with more gators,
you know, just put about 200 or 300 of them and let them swim around and it'll be feeding time when someone decides to get out. Oh, the house Versailles, 90,000 square feet.
90,000 square feet.
I'll post it online so you can see it. 90,000 square foot home belonging to Westgate Resorts founder David Siegel and his wife. Been under construction since 2004, it looks like. We work stalled in 2009 with the recession hit, and then there was a hurricane in 2022 that caused over $10 million of damage, including caved-in ceilings and roof damage. As of 2024, the house remains uncompleted. However,
21 years of construction.
However, in January 2025, I'm reading it. It's got, by the way, it has its own Wikipedia page.
Look at that monstrosity.
Yeah, I walked all the way through it. It was great.
Beautiful house.
Oh, see right in the middle of down here? Look at the bottom. See the bottom picture down here?
Yeah.
That's that stained glass thing in the middle up there on the roof.
There.
Right there. Yep.
Uh-huh. Golly.
And it's built on 10 acres on Lake Butler Chain, so it's got 14 bedrooms, blah, blah, blah. And the home and its owners were subject to a 2012 documentary film, The Queen of Versailles. And but yeah, it was doors and windows are constructed using some of the last remaining legal Brazilian mahogany at a cost of $4 million, cut before the Brazilian government banned the big leaf mahogany in 2001.
So they trimmed it out.
Oh, yeah. Exterior walls are precast concrete with marble veneer. It has a 20,000 bottle wine cellar. Okay, but it's never been finished. You know, and there's another place up there too in Orlando. We call it the I-4 eyesore, and it was done by a TV ministry that basically wanted to build it. I know the guy who did it, so I'm not going to mention any names. And it's been sitting there now, not completed for over 20 years. Also, it's like about a 20-story office complex that was going to be built to basically control and contain and help support the TV show.
The city now has to do continual security around it because it started turning into a homeless destination.
Oh,
yeah, I found that out. They're it's got windows.
Oh yeah,
so it's almost dried in. So as far as a homeless center, it's actually a pretty good building.
I toured it too.
Yeah,
I went through that with the owner.
But now they have to have constant law enforcement security on the floor.
I'm going to post this for the Versailles. But this thing is a beautiful home. I have to admit that, but it's never been finished. See, the Bible says it's a foolish man who starts a project and doesn't figure out how much it's going to cost to finish
it. Exactly right.
You know,
it was an open wall at Builds, from what I pretty much read. I mean, it was the best of everything, and he never got to see it finished.
Nope, he's gone now.
Yep. And now, this is a Florida story that I'm going to cover, and this is a big deal, so I need to make sure everybody's aware of this with kids. Operation Dragon Eye just popped up. They rescued 60 critically missing Florida children in the last 2 weeks. This is a huge, huge operation led by U.S. Marshals.
Missing children, it says here across the United States.
That's what they're looking for. Yeah, that's what they're going after so far. The 20 agencies.
This child trafficking?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
In Florida. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is the problem that I'm glad they got these kids. Let me clarify that. This is a huge deal. Ages 9 to 17 in the Tampa Bay area. Two-week initiative rescued 60 critically missing children. 8 individuals were arrested on charges of human trafficking, drug trafficking, child endangerment. Now, the issue that I have with this story is that there's no disclosure on what happened to these kids and how they got in this position, how they got abducted, how they got trafficked, how everything led up to this. They rescued them. Fantastic ending of a story. They saved these kids. Now they get them the help they need. But why did it get into this? How did it get into this? How were these children got into this situation? And I think that's a problem that a lot of law enforcement does not cover. They have these stories where they come out and they say, hey, we saved these kids. Fantastic. How did it happen, though? What led to it? And that's a part that I've really, you know, have brought to a lot of law enforcement's attention. And Grady Judd does a pretty good job local. If this situation like this happens, he gives an entire detailed explanation of what happened with the whole story. But this is good. Be very cautious when you're out with children in public. That's where they're not addressing this. This is where a lot of these situations happen with young kids out in public areas. And, you know, kids run off. They do stupid stuff. You got to pay attention to them. And all it takes is a split second. You know, I mean, I've seen that with people that have had things stolen from them, like vehicles. If you have somebody that knows what they're doing, they're stealing a motorcycle or a car, and they're good at it, they'll steal in a few seconds. You don't even realize it's gone.
I had a friend of mine over in Lakeland. He had been riding with this group of guys on bikes, and he didn't realize they were a bunch of thieves.
Yeah.
And he let them know because he dropped off his bike at his apartment complex, and literally it was gone within 60 seconds.
Yeah.
He ran downstairs as they pulled the box truck up.
I remember
and
that.
It was gone and out and finished. I mean, within 60 seconds.
He said it was like that.
Yeah.
He said saw box truck pull up in the middle of the night, looked out the window. They were grabbing his bike. By the time he got downstairs, the bike and the truck was gone.
Yeah, and right next to the interstate. Gone, done.
It's
that fast.
And that's a motorcycle. think how fast they can do it with a little kid.
And you said that movie, Sound of Freedom, with Jim Caviezel, it shows how they grab them off of motorcycles and everything else, right off the street.
Right off the street.
And they actually put orders in of what they want, and they find the kids that match
the
orders.
They scope them out.
It's sickening what they do.
No, it is.
And this is one of the big things that happened under the Biden administration with the unbridled immigration they came across. These families were separated, and these children were trafficked. You know, this is well known and documented now. And the sad part about it is now they're trying to find these kids, and so many of them have already been sold into sex slavery in other countries. And this is a sad situation, guys. And the sad part about all of this stuff is that there's a bunch of perverts out there that like to prey on little children. So be really careful. When you're in a public setting, you take care of your children. If you have to put a dog on leash on them, you see those back straps with the leash on them.
Oh, yeah, tied to your belt.
Hmm?
I know. I'm not joking. That's
no, you see all the time.
You see them all the time. I used to be at Disney World. I don't go to Disney World.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of times they do that at different.
I was walking down downtown Disney the other day. I saw that.
Yeah.
And because if you have a kid that's, because kids are sneaky as all get out.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm going to go scope this out. And all of a sudden they're gone. I remember one time I got in trouble for this. Oh, I got in trouble. I got dragged with my mom and my sister. I was like 5 years old. I remember this. And I was in this like department store, and I was bored out of my mind, you know, because they were like looking at clothes, and I'm like, ugh, you know. And so I went and sat down inside of a clothes rack in the middle of it.
I used to love those.
Oh,
it's just a little fort.
Yeah.
Nobody can find it.
So I sat in there. Oh, my gosh. Alarms are going off. Security's going off. People are screaming and yelling because little Ted has been basically abducted. Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, I poked my head out. Boy, did I get chewed out. My mom would yell at you in German. Boy, but she could yell. And, boy, I got chewed out all the way home. I think I got chewed out for about a year after that one. It was horrible. And she kept reminding me never to do that again.
Well, I mean, the issue is, and be aware of this down here, Florida, as much as I hate to say it, it is one of the largest child trafficking states in the entire country.
Well, because we got water all around us.
We're one side away from being an island.
Yeah, I mean, and so all they have to do is get
Tampa,
to the coast.
Tampa and Miami are the epicenter for it because you have the two biggest ports in Florida. You got Ybor, Port of Tampa, then you got Miami Port, and they go global.
And Jacksonville's pretty big,
Jacksonville's
too.
Jacksonville's pretty bad,
port,
too.
Yeah.
So be very cautious of this stuff, because I remember there was a situation years ago, Lana encountered, and she was able to deter it. She had her daughter, Kendall, and she was at Target, and she was walking out to her vehicle. She had an SUV, and this guy was walking like two vehicle lanes over, basically ghosting them, walking, watching them as they're walking by himself. And she got into the car. She up in the back hatch. She about to put Kendall in there, and he comes beeline it straight to her. And all of a sudden, she basically puts her hand out and says, stop, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I need to talk to you about something. She goes, you put your hand in her purse. You come any closer to me, I'm going to pull a weapon on you right now. He goes, don't calm down. It starts inching closer towards her, and she doggone pulled a pistol out of her purse. Had ready to rock. And he goes, I'm sorry. It's not a big deal. I just wanted to talk to you for a second. I'll back off. And he backed off, and I mean, he about got himself shot. And I talked to multiple guys that I know, law enforcement. They said that is a very, very, very common thing that these guys do, is they have one guy who's a front runner who ghosts them, watches them walk out, distracts them. While they're distracted, another vehicle pulls up behind them, usually a box van, slings the door open, grabs the child or the woman and or both, slams the door, and nobody even sees it happen. It's so quick. So be very cautious in situations like that of A, the initial threat A, and then threat B, that maybe another one that's coming behind you. That's very, very common.
I got to tell a story. Okay, I was in Germany.
Since we're on this topic now.
Yeah, I was in Germany. I was coming out of Dresden. I was going into Berlin.
Yeah.
And I was out on the Autobahn. I was running about 150 miles an hour. Legally. Don't send me a letter. And
there's no speed limit on the Autobahn.
No, parts of it has no speed limit. And it was in the springtime, and I had Savannah in the back seat and Sharon in the front seat. Now, remember, Sharon, stunningly beautiful, and so Savannah.
Was there any window tint on the car?
No window tint. Okay. And so I came off the top of a ridge coming down onto the Autobahn into Berlin. There's like 100 acres of woods to the right, and we come into an intersection, and the light just turns red. I see it turn red. There's two cars in front of me, and there's a big curb.
Yeah.
So there was no way to get away because I was boxed in.
Right.
And these gypsies, which is what they are from Romania, two of them came running out of the woods and basically wanted to wash the windshield of the car that I was in. And I said, don't touch the cars, leave it alone, I'm good. Well, they washed the windshield anyhow. Now, the windshield was a mess. It was completely covered in bugs. And they did the world's greatest windshield wash. It was fantastic.
Is it really?
No, it was great. And so I said, okay, whatever. So there was like a 2 euro thing that I had. It was like $2.
2 euro coin.
And so I cracked the window about that much, and I stuck the euro in there, to basically, because I don't want him reaching inside the car. And he drops the euro, the 2 euros, back into my car. And then he says, you know, can you open the door? And I'm like, absolutely not. And so what ended up happening is he ends up wanting to break the windshield out of the car.
Yeah.
And he got really aggressive with me. And Savannah's in the back seat because she's like 10 years old. Open the door. He feels, looks so sad. Let him have his 2 euros. I said, absolutely not. I don't know who this guy is. I'm not going to open the door. Boy, I tell you what, then he goes to break the windshield of the car. The light turns green. Everybody moves. He jumps out of the way, and I take off. I drive about 3 blocks down the road, and I basically got another stop sign, red light, and I reached down there to grab the 2 euros, opened the door. It was a penny. He had pocketed the 2 euros and dropped the penny.
So he did a little switch on us, so he still got the 2 euro.
Mm-hmm. That was that fast. And he wanted me to make sure that he wanted to get...
He still got a euro.
So I got to the Westin Hotel there in Berlin. I went to the Westin Hotel in Berlin, and I'm mad now. I mean, I'm really mad. And I said to myself, because this guy tried to hit him. They said, oh, that happens all the time in Berlin. They would have stolen the car and sold your wife and your daughter into sex slavery.
They said that.
He said that, yeah. And I said, well, I want the police here. I said, call the police. And they said, oh, no, we're not bringing the police. Kind of put it aside. So hotel. No police here at the hotel. You have to go make a report, but it won't matter. It happens all day long.
Wow.
And the same thing happened in Italy. They told me if you drive down there in certain types of cars, if you rent a car, the real nice car, they will have it stolen from you down there around Naples. By the time you get through the city, they'll case you and they'll do the same thing. They will sell your, if you have women with you, they will, pretty women, they will be sold into sex slavery. You'll be on the side of the road either beaten to death or, you know, stabbed or left hurt, and the car will be gone, your luggage will be gone, and your women will be gone.
Wow.
So there's certain, and yesterday I had another friend of mine call me up, and she was supposed to go to a photo shoot down there in Mexico by herself.
That sounds horrible out the gate.
And I remember I was in Puerto Vallarta. I can't really pronounce that very well, so forgive me if you're Hispanic and say he butchered that, because I just did. And we went horseback riding. Sharon wanted to go horseback riding.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, we had like 8 people from the cruise ship want to go with us. And then we look behind us, and there's 2 guys riding with us, and they're both carrying machine pistols. They had machine guns with them.
Yeah.
Full automatic machine guns. They had jackets on, and they were full security that had been hired by the cruise ship.
For you guys.
For us.
Okay.
And I asked him, so I turned my horse around, and I rode back to him. I said, what are you doing? He goes, we're your security. We didn't know we had them, but I knew they were contractors. Yeah. And he pulls his coat back, shows me he had a MP3, MP5.
Okay.
And I said, are they full auto? He goes, yes. And he says, we're going out into the country now. He says, you will be abducted if we're not with you. And you will be held for ransom. And so the cruise ship doesn't want this. So we have to be with you right now to protect you. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, country from hell. No wonder everybody wants to leave there and come to the United States. That's horrible, man. And so you think about it for a second. So this stuff is very, very, very real.
Well, you've got to have, especially if you're traveling overseas or even local, you got to have situational awareness. You don't want to be walking around paranoid all wide-eyed all the time, but you got to be aware of your surroundings, especially if you start picking up on somebody casing you, somebody looking at you, somebody continually moving with you. That, I mean, it's a perfect example. If you watch that movie Sicario, which I highly recommend that film for everybody. It's an adult film. It's very graphic.
No kids.
It goes into detail about what the CIA does, but there's a scene in that movie where they're going to the border crossing, and they basically, they're in Juarez, and they're trying to get back into the United States, and they have a police car that's following them like 2 roads over. Mm-hmm. They're casing them. She goes, we got a spotter vehicle. That happens all the time. So if you're out in public and you start seeing stuff that doesn't become coincidental anymore and it starts to become consistent, be aware of it. I've always told people before, if you're doing something, if you get in a situation where you feel like somebody's following you or somebody's road raging you, never go right back to your house. Take the long way home, or go stop at a well-lit gas station, or go find law enforcement if you don't feel comfortable enough, or call 911. I know people have done that. They feel like they're being followed. They'll call FHP. Like, some behind me acting crazy. They're tailgating me. They're doing road rage. But never go right back to your house. Take the long way home and see if they're going to keep following you.
I was with Sharon in Milan, Italy. And we were basically walking from the hotel. It was like a half a mile to the shopping area.
Yeah.
And I told her, this is walking. It was a beautiful day. And so as soon as we left the hotel, guy starts casing us.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately he was hiding in the bushes over the other side of the hotel, and he was tracking us.
Yep.
And I looked at Sharon, we're being cased. Now, I didn't have a gun with me because remember, I'm in Italy. All right. I wasn't wearing any fancy jewelry, but he knew that we were coming out of a nice hotel. You know, we have some Marriott points. And so what I did is I just turned around and went right back up to the lobby, and I said, get me a taxi.
Yeah.
We're not doing this. And then at that point, we decided not to do it because Italy's one of the worst. It really is. And then I remember, you know, you've got to understand that, you know, sometimes you've just got to be aware of what's going on around you. Like, I'll never go in a restaurant and sit with my back to the door.
No.
that's how you get sucker punched. That's how things happen behind you that you don't even see. You've got to know what's going on. You have to have situational awareness. And so it's very, very important that you don't allow yourself to be put into a victim status. I remember one time we were coming out of the Millennium Mall, and I remember I let a guy get behind me. I didn't see him, and I was opening the trunk of my car, and Sharon was already going to the other side. And I turned around. He's, I didn't talk to you. And he was literally 3 feet from me. I backed up, put my hand to my Glock, and I said, buddy, you better step off.
That's knife distance right there, bro.
And I looked at Sharon, and I apologized. I said, man, I am so sorry I let this happen. I said, I'm better than this. But he said, well, I need to get a ride in your car. I said, you don't need a ride. Nothing about it. You just have shot what you're about to get done. Dude. So you step away from me. And so it's an interesting experience when you start realizing how many bad people are out there and how you need to stay away from certain areas. But this was the Millennium Mall, Austin. This is one of the nicest malls in Florida.
Yeah.
But that's, I'm sure, why they're out there casing in parking.
Well, and that's one of the reasons, too. One of the biggest places you also got to look at are gas stations. Gas stations are super common for carjackings, for muggings, because you're distracted. You're putting your car. Hard in, you're putting the fuel in, you got your door open, and the common thing, I've showed videos on it here before, is these guys would pull up beside a car, usually the car's unlocked on the passenger side, because you unlock the door to get out to pump gas, they'll open up the passenger door real discreetly, grab the girl's purse, close the door real discreetly, and take back off. There's videos of it all online, so be aware of that. Always keep all the doors locked on your vehicle, except the vehicle door you're having to open to go get fuel, and also watch your surroundings at gas stations. Years ago, I was pumping gas. I had a 4Runner back in the day. This was years ago. And I remember I was sitting there, and I saw this guy. He's sitting beside the gas station. He tells he's a tweaker, starts walking straight over to him. I'm like the only person at the gas station. And he's walking. I'm looking at him. He's walking straight towards me. And by the time he gets about a pump away from me, I put my hand and I say, stop, what are you doing? All right, I need to see if I could get some money from you. I said, I don't have any money. I don't carry cash with me. Back away from me right now. And you could tell he was twacked out. Oh, my bad. What happens is, if you have the situational awareness and you recognize it and you engage them first, it usually deters the situation because they don't have the element of surprise. Big, big factor when you look at it. Because when you have somebody that's trying to rob you, steal, burglar, take your kid, whatever, once they don't have an element and you look at them and you make eye contact and you make a bold statement like stop, you give a command, you are now in the position of authority much better than you were before. It may not always deter the situation, doesn't fix everything, but when you start giving a verbal command like that and you put your hand out and say stop, do not come close to me, they no longer have that element to try to get close to you.
I've told the story before. We were in an elevator in San Diego. It was on the outside of the hotel, which was unbelievably stupid.
Yeah.
And we were taking it up, and one of those guys jumped in with me and Sharon.
Yeah.
And I could tell he was about to rob us. And I grabbed Sharon and pulled her behind me. I looked at the dude, and I said, I'm the wrong guy. You just made a mistake.
Yeah.
That you're going to get messed up from this. And he looked at me and goes, can you let me off the elevator?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, you can get off. Because I had already engaged. Because like you said, once you address it first,
that's exactly right.
They don't know what to do. But I told this lady who was going to go down there for this photo shoot, I said, if you're going to go down there and you're by yourself, you need to get security at the airport and have them stay with you the whole time. She's got like 50,000 followers on Instagram. She's very high profile. And I told her, I said, you got to make sure that you stay secure and don't go down there by yourself ever. And she said, okay. And so she said, I'm not going to go. Well, there's that one movie out too that was done with Meg Ryan and Gerard Butler, Proof of Life.
Oh, yeah.
And Meg Ryan's husband had gotten abducted down there, and you know, down in Mexico, and they were holding him. And what they do, they take you out to the middle of the woods somewhere. I mean, the middle of nowhere. I mean, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres, and there's no internet. There's no power. There's nothing.
They're running on generators. There's no tracking you.
There's no tracking you. And so they're not going to find you with your cell phone. And then they contact your family, and they basically try to get money for ransom. It happens all the time. Guys,
what was that one movie with Kurt Russell? Tense movie. They're out in Arizona.
Oh, they put his wife in a freezer.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
I forgot that, but it's an intense movie, though, but it's exactly what happened. They're at that gas station. Yeah. The guy messes with their car. Mm-hmm. She tries to get a ride. And she disappears. No service, no nothing.
But just be since we're talking about this today,
yeah, I don't know how this is
turning into
this show
turning into a fireside chat. I'm going to say something to you, and this is really, really, really important. Now, listen to me. Years ago, I got scammed by friends, okay? And they basically needed some money, and I had a little bit left, you know, from after I paid my bills, and I gave it to them because I had known them for 10 years. It turned out to be a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this to you very clearly. If something seems too good to be true, it is too good to be true.
That's exactly right.
It's a con. And so I had a guy call me up the other day and wanted me to invest some money in one of his friends who has a business to basically, you know, can't make the rent this month and blah, 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 blah. And I said to him, I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, the only way I would ever invest in somebody else's company, I said, well, he's been in business for 45 years. And I said, he can't make rent?
Yeah.
I said, there's something really wrong. I said, why won't he go to the bank? And they said, well, he went to the bank, wasn't, he didn't quite have enough collateral.
There you go. Yeah, that's always the story. And well, I'm having some credit issues right now.
So listen to me, and this is really, really important. If you have a friend of yours that you want, that you would help if you really thought it was legit, here's what you have to have. Ask for the last 5 years' tax returns of the company that you're going to be loaning money into.
Yeah.
Chances are it's a scam and they can't produce that. And ask for power of attorney for your CPA to investigate the company with power of attorney. Ask for the last 5 years of books and deposits,
tax returns,
and tax returns,
actual profitability,
and bank statements.
Yeah,
you got to have the bank statements and ask for the last 5 years of purchase orders, because you got to keep all that for IRS anyhow. Yeah. And say that's what you have to have. You have to have a full track record of who these people are and what they're doing and why they can't borrow the money from the bank.
Exactly right.
Because I'm telling you, and so you know, my friend who came to me the other day for some money for that, I said, oh, here's what I need.
Yeah.
He called me back in 30 minutes. Oh, the guy said he can't produce it. He has to have the money by the end of the month in 5 days. And I'm like, yeah, that's the way they always do it. It's always a scam. You got a great deal. You're going to miss out on this.
They use the fear of missing out, and you've got to do it right now.
I've got a friend of mine, and she attended one of those churches over in Orlando. And one of these ladies in the church prayed. You see, remember, the Bible says that Christians are in like doves in the other parts of the world, like serpents.
Yeah.
And so they get preyed on, like P-R-E-Y-E-D, not P-R-A-Y-E-D.
Yes. Right.
Prayed, like an animal's praying after you to kill you. And they go after you because they're, quote, unquote, going to your church. They claim to be Christians, which, by the way, a lot of people claim to be Christians aren't. Just thought I'd give you a heads up on that. And so what ends up happening is they will say, oh, well, you know, God told me to come talk to you because he thinks you can help me with this.
There you go. I've heard that, too.
And you're like, okay. And what I always do too. Now, if someone needs like, you know, $50 or whatever to buy groceries and I know them, I will just give them the $50, be honest with you. I won't even loan it to them. I just give it to them because I'm not going to sit there and basically take collateral for $50, because I will never loan money to somebody without collateral. In other words, bring me your guns.
Hard asset.
Bring me your guns. Bring me your coins. Bring me your whatever. But I'm not giving you money without some type of collateral. And we'll take the collateral. We'll take it to the pawn shop. Find out how much they'll give me for the collateral if you default. And if, well, that stops all that. Because everybody says, well, you know, Joe's not going to give you money unless you have collateral. Well, if they had collateral, they would have gone to a bank.
That's exactly right.
So be careful, guys. I mean, I've had multiple times in my life before I learned these little lessons I just gave you that I got defrauded. And that one lady over there at this big church in Orlando, she had this, quote, Christian community they were developing. And she had the gardening and the land and all. Everything was a scam. And people were giving the life savings. One of the ladies who was the secretary of the church went so insane when she lost all the money she had, they arrested her running naked down the street screaming.
She lost it.
She completely lost her mind. She lost her entire life savings to this scammer. And the scammers don't care.
No.
Because they invariably leave the country, go to Mexico, go to China, go somewhere else.
To do it again.
To do it again, yeah. And to get out of the reach of the law of the United States of America. Because now they have to be extradited.
Yep.
Unless it's a capital offense, they usually don't go after people with the
evidence. Now, you know, and it's funny. I had a guy I hadn't talked to in years contact me a little ways back. And it was the same thing. He needed more money to start another business. And he was in a tight cash flow crunch. And then he had some property. He was trying to use collateral, but it wasn't paid off. And I asked him a question. I said, why don't you just go to the bank?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
They have these institutions. They've been around for thousands of years. And you go there, you put an application in, and they give you a loan. That's what they do. Oh, well, my credit's a little off right now. You know, I'm working on getting my credit back up. What that means is they haven't been paying all their other bills, and their Beacon store's trashed. That's what that means.
Period.
And the bank won't loan them any money because they're not credit worthy. That's why they're coming to you. That's why they're not going to a bank. That's why they need cash. That's why they're having financial issues. So anytime people use that, my credit score's rough right now, or I'm going through this, I need this $100,000 loan or $50,000 loan, my answer is the same thing. I'm a pass right now, buddy.
I did a series years ago. It's called Maximum Success, How to Live Disease-Free, Debt-Free, and Worry-Free. And one of the things I tell people is be careful with the scammers and watch out what you get invested in and what you work with, because there's so many people out there that'll take your stuff, your money from you, and basically they just steal it. And then they have this incredible lifestyle. I knew this one lady out of Orlando. And she basically had, I mean, Louis Vuitton purses, Rolex watches, travel around the world constantly. They'd go to China and they'd come back, supposedly for one of their business trips, and they'd go decompress in Hawaii at a top resort for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I remember that.
With other people's money, by the way.
Exactly.
And then she ended up being, she ended up defrauding over 200-300 people for millions of dollars in a Ponzi scheme, and basically now has fled the country. And then she did, in fact, she's such a big one that the Daily Mail did a story on her.
Yeah.
Because she did the same thing with the people in California with the fires. She basically said they were going to build all these modular houses for pennies on the dollar, took all of their deposits, and never built a house.
There you go.
And then the Daily Mail was even warned about it. Then Interpol went after her. But the point is that these people are everywhere out there, and you've got to be careful because that's how they earn a living, guys. That's how they make their lifestyle.
It's basically their job. Their job is scamming people.
That's right.
That's your job.
And there's enough people out there that they can scam. And social media influencers do the same thing in many cases.
Oh, gosh, that's gotten horrible now.
Because they basically have this lifestyle that they do on other people's money, and they promote it on their social media. Here, take my course. Let me be your personal life coach.
Or,
you know, and everything's a fake. It's just all fake. And they're using other people's money to have these photographs done, and then they're posting it on their Instagram.
Yep. Like they're doing these big travel trips and buying all these cars.
Yeah, and nothing's their stuff.
No.
And it's somebody else's stuff, and they're just using it. So be really, really, really careful. By the way, a popular fox rescuer, this is like the animal, a fox, commits suicide after a degenerate Redditor launched character assassination campaign. These types of people that come after people for no reason whatsoever just to try to tear into them, try to get clicks, nauseate me. There are vast communities across America that most of you might not be aware of, full of people living free, satisfying lives, and using their little slice of happiness to help those in need. Yet it seems no good deed goes unpunished thanks to mentally ill degenerates who take pleasure in stalking, harassing, and otherwise tearing people down. These basement-dwelling lowlifes love attacking trad wives and homesteaders who apparently are white supremacists, and they can't stand rugged individualism and self-sufficiency or nuclear families or people that are thriving while carving out their own path. What's more, these haters from Stark groups on Reddit and other platforms with the sole purpose of character assassination have now driven somebody to suicide. And this lady was a big rescuer of animals and of foxes in particular, and they came after her so heavily, and she was already dealing with depression and slight autism. And so she took her own life.
Social media is unbelievably dangerous in some cases and what it can do to people. There's another article here. It says addictive use of screens linked to higher risk of suicide in kids. So it's not just the screen time alone, but the quality and emotional dependence on the screen use.
It's addicts.
This is huge. Mm-hmm. It says children who addictively use social media were 2 to 3 times more likely to report suicidal ideation or behaviors than their peers. June 18th in JAM. This study just came out. Be very cautious if you got kids, especially teenagers, how much time they're spending on their phone. This can become so engulfing where they're on their iPads, they're on social media, they're on different sites, and they become so engulfed in it. And the problem is when it happens is, now I've watched this personally in some young kid's life, where they get so wrapped up in watching everybody else's life, all the things they're doing, the trips they're going on. Most of it's all fake anyway. It's not even real. They're renting cars. They're doing this. They're loaning their money on credit cards. And they watch all these other kids that are in their peer group. Oh, so-and-so bought a new car on YouTube. So-and-so's doing this. Well, man, my life sucks. I'm in college trying to pay my bills, trying to get a degree. These kids are over here partying and posting all these photos. And they start comparing their life to everything else on social media, which only about 1% of it is actual reality. Remember, Instagram's not a real place. It doesn't exist. It's a social media platform that people post edited photos on. Just clarify that. Twitter's not a real place.
Seriously edited photos.
It's places where people go and post things. Okay, cool. Nobody posts the crap that's going on in their day-to-day lives that actually sucks that you're dealing with. Everybody deals with drama. Everybody deals with conflict and chaos.
Everybody's got that wild monkey somewhere.
Everybody's got a monkey that it is your monkey and it is your problem and you got to deal with it. But see, in social media, you don't see any of your monkeys. All you see is the fancy stuff. And the trips and the lifestyle. Nobody posts their monkeys. Everybody's posts their fun stuff.
We need to find a throwing poop monkey and post it.
I'll find it in a second here. But so be aware of this because this article came out. Suicide is on the rise with young teens, and a lot of it isn't from drugs anymore. It's from social media.
Well, because they think their life is awful because everybody's making this fake like, you know,
exactly
this
right.
was very bad with Facebook. Remember when it first came out?
And MySpace.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. Oh, by the way, Brent crude drops below $70 a barrel.
Nice.
Israel-Iran ceasefire holds. Do you know why this is being held down? because the same people that wanted us to attack Israel control these markets.
Yeah, that's throwing us a bone. We did their bidding.
That's exactly right. That's just to let you guys know that it's the same group that wanted Israel to attack Iran is basically the same one doing this. American Thinker came out with a really good article and says Americans shouldn't have to subsidize their own mistreatment.
That's true.
It's a good article. There's plenty of evidence the taxpayers' dollars are funding the anti-ICE riots in Los Angeles and everywhere else. And here's how it happens. Domestic agitators set up nonprofits and other kinds of non-government organizations with deceptively innocuous names. They apply for monetary grants from state and federal agencies. The government agencies use their discretion to award outside groups. These groups then pay rioters to cause mayhem. They actually put our articles in the paper, by the way, to look for, to say, we want you to be a rioter. We'd call it a protester. You know, and the government-funded pop-up revolutions are ready to go. This isn't anything new. Politicians have been diverting taxpayer funds to their favorite public policy groups for so long that a large professional class now exists whose entire business model consists of establishing new foundations, bilking government agencies, this is what Doge was finding out, and filling their own bank accounts and occasionally doing the bidding of the government bureaucrats responsible for doling out the free money. Have you ever wondered why so many government adjacent influencers who show up on cable news are the president, founder, or CEO of organizations with serious sounding names whose activities are very vague?
There you go.
Most of these empty suits with fancy titles are the heads of recently made up entities that specialize in leeching off the taxpayer.
Exactly,
we saw
right.
This with Doge. Whenever their prefabricated organizations miss out on easy government money, they simply create a new organization and start the game all over again. These government-funded third parties produce nothing of value. Their name suggests they produce charitable missions, but they help only themselves. They are parasites that suck taxpayer wealth from working families, and if their own work impacts a local community or at all, it is usually in the form of organized protests that block traffic, shut down businesses, burn down neighborhoods, and prevents Americans from actually getting to their actual jobs. They are government-subsidized agents of chaos. Consider how insane this arrangement is. In Los Angeles alone, dozens of law enforcement officers have been injured during the last 2 weeks of riots. Shops have been vandalized and looted and burned. Citizens are effectively blackmailed to support anti-ICE terrorists or suffer serious consequences, having their businesses burned. As the famous libs of TikTok social media account have repeatedly pointed out, Democrats are funding the riots and the destructions of the cities. This is what it's always been like. This is all communism, by the way. This is basically the anti-American group that's basically taking us over the United States because they're doing it internally by causing all of these social welfare problems in the United States. This is Cloward and Piven. However, they also pay the agitators who receive taxpayer grants to destroy city parks, burn and vandalize businesses, graffiti the streets, and attack residents. They pay for Newsom, Bass, and other Democratic blowhards to make speeches that defend the actions of rioters and condemn the actions of law enforcement officers and law-abiding citizens. They pay for damaged police vehicles and equipment and cover overtime expenses. They pay for hospital bills of injured officers. They pay to repair broken windows, busted concrete, and burn out buildings. They pay in the form of higher insurance premiums. They pay in loss of time. He's right.
Yeah.
And this is the group of people that basically are the communists that have infiltrated the United States. A lot of them are neocons. I will say that. They're new conservatives in name only that came into the House and into the Senate and a lot of state legislatures back under Ronald Reagan. You've got a picture.
I do have a photo.
You do. You're laughing. This is not laughing. So you're laughing about something. What is it? Here it is. He's throwing poop. There he is.
Can't help. This is my favorite sign.
Monkeys will throw feces.
I'm sorry, some humor to light the mood.
Caution, monkeys will throw feces.
I'm thinking about this whole thing. You're just telling me this isn't our monkey. This isn't our problem. Why are we wrapped up in this? Why are we even giving all this money to these groups?
Monkeys will throw feces. Caution, monkeys.
Anyways.
We need to get a big sticker for that for the sign. Just hold it up in front of the camera every day. Say, they will do this.
Yeah. I couldn't help myself with that.
That is funny.
Yeah. But no, that's why all of a sudden Elon Musk comes out and starts saying, why are we spending all this money? What's $100 billion here, $50 billion here, $20 billion here? What are we doing? Where is this money going? There's going to these shell LLC contracts that don't even produce anything. And suddenly it's like, Elon Musk, you need to go now. Goodbye.
No, he said he's going to audit Fort Knox. That's what
he's
going to him.
Yeah, that's exactly. You got all the attention with that.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people, a lot of countries around the world have their money in Fort Knox.
Exactly right. It's not just America.
Remember, there's a reason Nixon took us off the gold standard. We were having countries all over the world cash their dollars in on gold. and we basically ran out of gold. We emptied out Fort Knox. So Nixon said, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
We're about to default. We're going to make it free float. And then the dollar, man, the inflation started after he did that, boy.
Yep.
Nobody wanted the dollar anymore.
Now, I got a bunch of health articles I didn't get to today. We're too busy talking about the wild monkeys and also protecting your children from being abducted.
Weirdos, yeah.
Wild show today. But sometimes, that I think that's a topic, in my opinion. Child abduction. As dark as it is, much I hate talking about it, it is probably one of the least covered topics that needs to be
addressed. Well, it's horrible to talk about.
It's horrible, but it doesn't get brought up. The final ending, oh, we saved these kids. That's good. But how do they get in that position in the first place? And this is an article here, completely different story, but I want to cover it in detail. It says why processed foods may be secretly raising your blood pressure. Researchers identify processed food chemicals that crosses into the brain and triggers high blood pressure by activating the nervous system. This is a study they went over for 12 weeks, and they said specific high-phosphate diets increases blood pressure significantly now because it crosses the blood-brain barrier and stimulates certain receptors. They go into detail here talking about how a lot of these foods have different types of basically inorganic phosphate added during the processing, and the absorption rate exceeds 90%, making it far more likely to reach problematic levels in the bloodstream. So that vegetables contain high amounts of phosphate naturally from organic aspects, but the processed food is heavily loaded with this, especially with baked products, dairy products, highly processed snacks. So again, this is another reason why you got to look at your overall diet when you're trying to handle your health. Look at it, handle it accordingly. Make sure you can take the HGH Stimulate. Also, the vitamin E is very, very good. And also the beet juice crystals we have.
And cut out that processed food.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, let me give you the lead stories on Drudge. Let me tell you how skewed this is. Strike set back the Iran nuke program only by a few months, U.S. report says.
Oh, here we go.
These are lies. Underground buildings did not collapse. White House rages over the leak. Rubio mounts flat pushback against findings. Democrats seek intel as doubts grow over the effectiveness of the strike. Uranium missing, enough to make 10 more nukes. Pickaxe Mountain.
Tehran's,
these are the top stories. Tehran's new hidden fortress. Video shows top commanders are alive, defying death reports. Live feed. These are the top 8 stories right now on Drudge. All of it promoting that we need to go back into Iran subconsciously and destroy their program and take out the entire country.
This is, as much I hate to say it, this is setting us up for a ground invasion. This is just going to be Iraq 2.0. I guarantee if they keep this up, this is exactly what they're going to do. We've got to get another heavy ground war to continue to keep the funds coming for the military-industrial complex.
Well, then Trump told Putin yesterday basically to mind your own business. You got your own war going. Leave us alone. You know, because, yeah, Putin does have this mess going on in Ukraine.
We don't need another conflict, dude.
We don't need any of this stuff. We don't need more throwing monkeys.
Beloved core, was supposed to have Fallujah clear in 3 days. It took 52. It was a nightmare. Iran's going to be the exact same way, if not worse.
They all got guns over there.
It's a very, very, very heavily armed, heavily populated country, much bigger. And I don't know. This whole thing's a nightmare.
Well, no, it is. And that's why it's important that you keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life and realize that we can do all things through Christ Jesus. He told us to walk in love and walk in peace and to love one another. This is not loving one another. This is basically getting us involved and embroiled in wars around the world that we have no business being in.
Iran's not our monkey.
No.
I don't care if they had 100 nukes.
Israel's not our monkey.
They're definitely not. They would not. And Iran has no interest in launching nukes towards the United States at all.
We
already showed them what we can do with just a few B-2 bombers, stealth. That was just a really, really
tight
mission.
What this whole thing boils down to is Iran has a huge oil reserve.
Exactly right.
And they don't have no Rothschild control central bank. That's what this whole thing boils down to. There's no, what did that one movie say? There's no Sunnis. There's no Shiites. It's just the haves and the have-nots.
Yep.
Remember that? That was Mark Wahlberg in the movie Shooter. Great movie, by the way. So always remember, if you keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, you can walk in peace and protect your children. We covered that in detail today. And maintain situational awareness. Make sure you know where you are. And if you go someplace that's kind of sketchy, which you shouldn't go anyhow, make sure you don't wear fancy clothes or fancy jewelry. Just be careful.
If you're in it, don't feel weird if you're in a situation and something doesn't feel right to take a step back and
get
assess
help.
It sometimes.
Yeah.
Say, hey, man, I need to take a step back. Or
call security.
Exactly. Don't feel, oh, man, I don't want to do that. I'm being paranoid. You're not being paranoid. Aaron Lloyd, you're being very active.
Sharon used to always, when she'd buy herself at a mall, she'd always call security to take her to the car.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I was down in Buenos Aires years ago, and I remember I walked up to the front. I had an Invicta watch. It looks like a Rolex, but it's an Invicta. And I remember the guy says, you can take that Rolex off. I said, it's not a Rolex, it's an Invicta.
Yeah.
And he goes, they don't know that. He said, they'll knock your arm off for that. And he said, this morning we had a lady come in, they busted her head open to get her watch. And she came in, her blood everywhere. And I'm like, that was like great.
So stay sharp. Tension factor, keep you sharp.
But not after 9 in the morning.
Ultimate Multiple is great. You can take that pretty much whenever. Just don't take it late at night. That's to be
Hey, thanks for supporting us. Thanks for getting your supplements from us. Thanks for kind of putting up with us, especially when we're talking about monkeys throwing poop. And I hope you got a couple of laughs out of today's show. It was some crazy stuff. I love you. And
appreciate
I appreciate
it.
Thanks again for your support. God bless.
We'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow as always.